So, let's keep moving here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And remember, we're talking about the world of done. We're talking about the world before time. We're talking about a great mystery. Everybody say with me, a great mystery. That's what we're dealing with. If you think I've never heard of this before, it's a great mystery. You know, just so you know, it's not like he's just, Jesus is walking the streets with flyers trying to, you know, he wants you to come to his heart, not his flyers, you know. Okay. All right. 1 Peter 1. And starting with verse 19, and we'll read 19 through 21. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the world, okay? Before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope should be in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Godhead, the loving relationship that makes them love. They are love. God is love. We discussed that the last time, didn't we? We found out that Jesus, and nowhere in the Bible does it say Jesus is love. Doesn't say the Holy Spirit's love. Doesn't say the Father's love. It says God. And that's the three of them. And that's not a description of, I don't know what. It is a description of how they interrelate with one another. They are not cognizant of themselves. They are cognizant of the other. And it's just an incredible flow that never ends. It would end, and it would end horribly if one of them turned and started declaring themselves instead of the other. Amen?
Yes.
The light would go out in God if that happened.
Yes.
But that didn't happen. But it did happen with one of his primary angels. And that's why the world is in the shape it is. Left God. Simply that God that is love, not the supreme being or all of the stuff that we, you know, see God as, because we can't see, you know, we can't see outside of the wisdom of this world that makes leaders and kings and all of this stuff. Well, this God, they all are one, and they all are there to serve one another and to exalt one another.
Amen.
Not themselves. So they never have to declare themselves in any great way, because the other will do it. And they're happy with that. They're like, I love this. All right. So, what did I say? 1 Peter? All right. Verse 24, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. So here's what we can know from just this first part that we read. Jesus was as a lamb without blemish and spot, but was foreordained before the foundation of the world. This lamb and this one that is without spot or blemish, the plan has always been that he give himself, because God gives themselves, not because of sin, but because of their nature. Because of their nature.
Amen.
They don't, yes, there was sin, so they give themselves. But it would be anything that came along, you know. But the church has made sin so big that we can't see God.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's sad, you know. And again, I'm not, you know, I have my faults, and I have problems and all this kind of stuff, if you will. So I'm not putting them down. I'm doing everything I know to get what he shares with me out. And there are people here who, because God shows me, then I want to share it, so I share it. But then I can't go do a, I can't intentionally go do a podcast, because that would be declaring myself. So someone else comes along and they go, we'll make a podcast out of this. Okay, but if no one comes along, I'm not going to touch it. Do you understand that? That's a real thing, and it's across the board. Jesus was as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, because he was part of the Godhead. See, we say, well, he cleaned up his act real well or something. Or we would think of ourselves, I'm without spot or blemish because I cleaned up my act really well. You know? Yeah, well, several of you are laughing. I know why. but he's not that because he cleaned up his act. He's that because God is that way. It's not, you know, we always say, well, they don't sin. It's not that. The worst sin of all is that you're always declaring yourself, your whole mind and life is about you. You love how you look in the mirror or whatever and all this kind of stuff. You know, and you're not giving and loving and helping and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. That's the worst sin. And I don't want to get into it again, but I mentioned it last time. And this without spot and blemish is this spirit and nature. Okay. And we're all trying to get rid of all of our sins, which we think are, you know, this or that or that, or I shouldn't chew tobacco or whatever, you know what I mean, or something like that. And he's going, you know, if you just would get your eyes off yourself. And God would probably even say something like it's not even I'm wanting you to do something for me. If nothing else, go do something for somebody else. You know, you see that spirit? I mean, they would give that up easily. Jesus going to the cross. See, the cross itself was just a couple of pieces of wood. It would be nothing. There were plenty of pieces of wood with people hung on the cross. What made Jesus is different. It wasn't the cross. It was the Lamb that who went there for us and for God and laid down his life. It was that nature. That's the beautiful thing, you know. And, you know, we're not, we preach the cross a lot, but it's not in itself, especially when you're talking about the wooden part. It's just wood, you know. I mean, I've heard of stories of people in, you know, Israel that, you know, found a splinter off the cross. That's what, you know. They put it in a bottle and they said, we found this splinter and we know it was on the cross. It was part of the cross. See, folks, if all you're going to get out of the cross is a splinter, you know, and a little finger prick, we're going down the wrong path here. Okay, so... foreordained before the foundation of the world, but manifest in these last times for you. We saw a manifestation of God at the cross. That is who he is. Jesus is the express image. He is the image of the invisible God, it says in Hebrews.
Praise the Lord. That's it.
So, but it all just breaks down to self-forgetting, selflessness, loving others better than, you know, your own plans or your own this. You know, we're all, again, I wish I could say this more clearly for you, but I mean, we're all working on the wrong stuff. Jesus already died for all that stuff, but we're not dealing with the things that are so opposite of God, which is his self-giving nature. And especially nowadays, I mean, we're born in a time when Facebook and everything, you know, and you know, you go on Facebook and you see your friends and you go, you know, they never look better than that. You know what I mean? See their picture and all this stuff. And then somebody goes on there that doesn't have too much and they read your little story about how great your life is and what possessions you have and how you look when you go to the, you know, the French Riviera or whatever and bathe, you know, bathe in the ocean, the Mediterranean or whatever. And they just go, you know, I got nothing and I'm, you know, I'm just nothing and I'm, you know, compared to these people. Well, certainly they shouldn't be comparing, but we're not all that. In those pictures and all that stuff, we're not all that. It's just a shame. It's a shame. And that's a bigger shame to God than that horrible sin that you're worried about. It is. It is. Who manifest in these last times. It was a manifestation. The cross was a manifestation of something greater, of pure God. Okay? And then, who by him do believe in God. It's only by Jesus that you believe in God in the sense of you see Jesus and you go, this is what they're like when they're together, the way they live.
Hallelujah.
This is it. This is, you know, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. You know, Father, I'm going into this death for them. They don't deserve it, but I'm here to give my life. But they're going to mistreat me. They're going to do all this stuff. But my hands are nailed, so I can't do anything. You know, my feet are nailed, so I can't kick them in the teeth. You know what I mean? Well, you know, if you're, you know, whatever you can do to get back at them. So into your hands, I commit myself. Guess what's going to happen? God's going to raise him from the dead. Okay. All right. So we have opportunities like this every day. We do. We do. We may not recognize them because one reason we might not recognize them is because we might be so full of our own life we can't see anybody else's needs around us. Okay. So, God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory. God gave him glory. God did it. God gave him glory. He didn't go into heaven and go, I did it! You know, we won the, you know, the World Cup or the Super Bowl. You know, Jesus comes, I lost for them. I gave up my life. I gave up, you know, for all of those people that are so yucky, but I love them.
That's right.
God so loved. So, wow. What a different world, amen? Huh. But what backs it all up and gives us hope is the world of done. If we can get hold of that, oh my goodness. All right. And gave him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. Okay, so why does it say that? Because this is before the foundation of the world stuff. This is before the, so Jesus gave himself, but this is before the foundation of the world stuff, so there's only God. They all would probably have, you know, I often kind of think about this, it talks about in the book of Acts the determinate counsel of God. Have you ever read that where it says that, well, that's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, especially before the foundation of the world. And I can see them go, okay, you know, okay, who's going to go die? you know, three hands go up. You know, and but that's it, it doesn't go that way. They're just talking, or however you want to describe that. And the Father says, "I will give my Son. I will give the thing I love the most, my beloved Son. I will give him." The Son says, "I will die for them when they don't deserve it and turn their back on you, Father. I'll go down there. I'll become one of them and let them beat me and do whatever." And the Holy Spirit says, "Well, when the Father raises you back up, I will declare your glory to all who will listen." And they go, "Let's do it. Let's do it." Wow. Hallelujah. All right. Revelation 13:8. "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him." It's talking about the beast, "whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Okay, so you got several things there that are really important. You've got the Lamb already slain before the world was even made. You see that? He's slain before the world was even made. Yeah. Okay. This is all called backup. You ever had your computer and, you know, you know, you got everything on your hard drive and it goes down and you don't have it back up. It's like, but you go, I got backup. Well, before the foundation of the world, you got backup. And it's more than wonderful. So he says, talking about the beast, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him." Okay, so we know about the end times and we know about Book of Revelation. We know all that stuff and we're all afraid of it. And, you know, oh my God, you know, the beast. Ah, you know, trust me, there's plenty of beasts all around you.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to worry about that, you know. You could go like this, the beast, ah, the beast, the beast, the beast, the beast, the beast. It's, you know, if it's not Christ, guess who it is? Anyway, so that they that dwell on the earth worship him. Where do you dwell?
In Jesus.
In Christ. In Christ. In him, in a real person. Before the foundation of the world, he tucked you away. And he backed it up. Okay? So, but these people that are on the earth and they dwell upon the earth, they're going to be suckered in. They are. They will. You can't help it. Because you don't have the description of the beast and the false prophet and the great red dragon, you know, the unholy trinity is that they, you know, they come and they start declaring themselves, and I want everybody to bow down to me and, you know, declaring their greatness and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, peace, peace, we're going to bring peace. Okay. So they bring outward peace for a little while so that everybody goes, oh, this must be the Messiah. It's the exact opposite. And the quickest way to discover that is when they start declaring themselves. And so this is people whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So we've got the Lamb slain already. So so that is settled. He died for you. He died for the Father's plan. And he died that we could be blameless in love. Blameless. He did that. No blame. Do you understand what no blame means before God? blameless. And he, again, backed it up on another hard disk. One before the foundation of the world. This is, if you start living in the land of done, there's going to be a lot more peace. Everything else is a manifestation. He said it in the verse before. That he was manifest at the last time, but this was already settled with them. So, but another thing that I noticed here was, whose names are not written, they shall worship the beast, whose names are not written in the book of life. And I went, you know what? That book of life is already written. Because, you know, he already knows. And it is the book of the life of the Lamb. Read it. It's the book of the life of the Lamb. Not just any Lamb, but the slain Lamb. The slain Lamb from the foundation of the world. This is his book. Okay, so you go, okay, so Calvinism or Arminianism, which way should I go with my theology? I suggest you dump it all. The foundation of the world, you weren't there. You don't know, you know, you don't have it all figured out. God has it all figured out, and he's telling you that in his heart and his doing, it's done in this place. And he's also telling you, by telling you that, quit trying to get it all fixed by moving this. I'm going to move that there. Oh, I feel so much better. I'm really closer to God now, you know, and stuff like that. When that, compared to what is, yeah, on the hard drive, the backup hard drive, no less, that is settled in God, is, it's nothing. You say, well, shouldn't we be, you know? Yeah, okay. Pick your nose if you need to. I don't know what you know, this is about, but it's not, it's so far beyond, and I'm glad that phrase came to my mind. Pick your nose if you want to, because it's that worthless in light of what God has done. And especially if you pick and go, I got it, and y'all feel better for 2 weeks until I go back and then stub my toe. I mean, it's just a never-ending thing of us trying to improve ourselves. Oh, my gosh, we're wasting precious time that could be lavished on Jesus. Oh, my. You know, you say, Randy, you're condoning sin that some people are in. No, I'm not. I'm looking at what he's done before the foundation of the world. And he's saying we're chosen. And I got my list down here. We're chosen. The works are finished. We're foreordained. The Lamb has already been slain. The book of life is written in. Wow. Well, they may go, well, I don't see that world, you know, but you're condoning sin. I can't, you know, I don't have time to wrestle with people, you know what I mean? They can think the worst of me, and guess what? I'm going to love them. I'm going to pray that the Lord will show them in his timing in their life. They don't have to agree with me. I don't, to dwell in Christ before the foundation of the world, I don't need everybody's approval, and I'm not saying that in a bad way. There's no malice or anything. It's just that I believe that, and so I'm maybe people get upset and go, well, you're too secure. You're too secure, and that's why you joke around a lot. Might be. Just might be. You know. Oh. We are in these scriptures, we are in the presence of beauty. All right, still in Revelation. Revelation 17:8. And I will
17:8.
Did I already do 17:8?
No.
Okay. 17:8. All right. The beast that thou sawest was and is not. The beast that you saw sawest was and is not. You saw something that is not in God's eyes.
Amen.
Done, finished, you know.
Yeah.
And shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder. Well, I bet they will. Wonder what that's all about. You know, going to wonder over this. Whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. It is. I happened to put a hyphen in between life and from so that I could make sure that we do understand there is that aspect whose names were not written in the book of life from. Life, this life is from the foundation of the world. That's the life we have. It was there before. It already made the hard drive and backed it all up. Okay?
That's right.
The book of life from the foundation of the world. Yeah. That's what we've got, people.
Yeah, right.
We don't have a little penny ante Jesus is trying to help us, but he doesn't seem to be able to because we're all so extremely messed up. You know? I'm trying to help you. You know? He already died. He knows that. He's not going to die again. Right?
Yeah.
He's not going to die again. He's not going to come back and go, okay, I'll do it again. Maybe it'll help. No. It's done. It's.
By the rock wasn't struck twice.
Pardon?
By the rock was not struck twice.
That's exactly right. It's why the rock was not struck twice and why it was wrong to do it.
That's right.
That's why they never entered in.
That's why they never entered in. Praise God. Thank you, Steve. and then the rest of the sentence is, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Okay. Well, something that is, but really is not, and yet you see it, is still nothing in the realm of before the foundation of the world. He wasn't there at that time digging into all of this and doing all of this stuff. He wasn't given his opinion. God, the determinant counsel of God, like it says in Acts, they settled this. They settled it. Nobody else can unsettle it.
That's right.
All right. So, again, I wrote down, where does this life emanate from? It is life that was from before. All right. So still in Revelation, and then we'll have one more scripture after that, and then we'll shut down. Revelation 1:8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the ending, and the ending. You know, if it was the end in the world of done, and it is, but it's also the ending. This is your ending.
Right.
Jesus. Okay? I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord. Okay, does he lie to us?
No, he does not.
Okay. Which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. All right. Compare that to the last one we read where he was a beast that was and is not and yet is.
That's right. Amen.
This, he says, I am he which is and which was and which is to come, Almighty, and I'm all the way through. There's no point where, well, I was not.
That's right. Don't work no more.
That's right. So, those declarations, when you got Jesus just going, okay, I want to talk to y'all. I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end and the ending. I am the first and the last.
That's right.
Just get in Him and be in Him from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Now that's important that I say that, because if I say just get in Him, we'll be in Him, we'll see something in the scriptures and know that we're in Him. We'll go, oh, I'm in Him. You know what I mean? We'll go, oh, this is so wonderful, and then it'll be gone like a puff of smoke maybe a week later or a day later or an hour later. And we go, how'd that go? You know what I mean? But from the foundation of the world, it's not you holding on to it that makes it real. All right, John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. Now, do y'all remember that we went through these scriptures the last one time I shared? We went through every one of these scriptures. And how many of you grasped it and said, oh my God, look, everybody, look. I'm gonna read my little in parenthesis thing here. It's John 1, 1 through 5. And my little parenthesis thing in parenthesis is, what is the beginning? What is the beginning? All right, here we go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So let's stop right there, because every one of you are thinking, you're looking at your Bible and going, this is it. In the beginning was, God had a Bible in heaven. God doesn't, you know, read the Bible. He doesn't pray to a God, so he doesn't pray to himself. He is the I am that I am. He's not religious. He's relational within themselves. And that's everything to them. And that's God. That's God. So when it says the Word, it can be translated it is the true translation in the Greek is the Logos. But I have in my study, and you don't have to believe this at all, but I have really, really been looking at this for some years now. And I believe that it is the word logic. And here's why. Not human logic. Not it is the logic of God or the wisdom of God or the way God thinks. That's because in the beginning, there was the way God thinks, and that is the Father does and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And any creation they do is going to be based on this.
Right?
Anything they do is going to be based on this. So, because it says, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, because this is how they think, and this is how they proceed, therefore, because they think this way, of self-giving, being willing to lose that others, even that don't deserve it, gain. And a bigger, bigger, bigger picture than I could say. So it says, the Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So this is saying that everything He created had the touch of that beginning, that it is done place, you know what I mean? And so the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that... Okay, so it begins by saying, this is our logic, this is the way we think, this is who we are, and this is the logic or the knowledge... I'm going to stick with logic, is God. Because with us, we have a brain and we think a certain way, but we can change our mind. Mm-hmm. You know, but God is fixed. You understand? I mean, in his being is fixed. It's not going to change. The devil's not going to trick him. We might fall into sin, but he's not going to. See? Because sin to God is you exalting yourself instead of helping others, you know. So they're not going to fall into that because that's their core. All right. So this is the beginning. In the beginning was God. And this, okay? Verse 3, all things were made by him. Okay, so he's making all things. But if you'll read throughout the scripture, and I don't have all these scriptures down right now, you're going to find out that that he chose to create all things to the glory of his Son. You read that all in Colossians particularly. You'll get it. You'll see, you know, God committed to his Son, but the Son committed to the Father, but the Holy Spirit committed to the Son to lift him up, but Jesus declaring the Holy Spirit is going to come and I have to go away. You know, he's like, I have to get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit come. And they're going, don't go, you know, and he's going, no, this is how we work in the Godhead. All right, so all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. Isn't it interesting that it would have to come to that?
Yes.
In him was life. So this is not just a life. This is God life. Or Godhead life. However, whatever terminology you need. And when I say that, I don't mean we're given God life and now we're a God. It's nothing like that. It is, he's in us. And we're in him. All right. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Oh, we're trying to see light in the scriptures instead of him being our light. The light of life, the light of deep things. No, the light of how to get out of my trouble. No, the light of, you know. You see what I mean? We're just. Oh, Lord, give me light on that. He's going, I gave you the light. He is the light, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. This is where I started my first one. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Okay. This would explain some of the places that we went through, like in Luke when it talked about Jesus saying, here is wisdom. This is Jesus. Here is wisdom. Okay, what is it? What is it? Speaking of God, he sent prophets and da-da-da-da, and they killed him. Mm. You go, how's that the wisdom of God? Mm. But Jesus said, I'm going to give you a shot of the wisdom of God. Because they laid down their life to reach people who didn't believe or didn't know. Most of the prophets were killed, slain, you know. And so he's saying, here's the wisdom of God. And through their death and self-giving, I will raise up, you know, except a seed fall into the ground and die, it'll abide alone. But if it die, it's going to come up. And these guys, they've been coming, you know, from, he even says basically from before the world. But I didn't want to say that because it's too freaky now. But I mean, it's like, it's a spirit. And it's an ongoing spirit of God within men. So, you know, just raising up a church and then you want to be a big shot and you want to be a pastor and you want to have people honor you and look up to you and all this stuff. That's a wrong reason for raising up a church, you know. Well, I want a ministry, so I'm going to do this and da da da. And there's pride and self all mixed in, you know. And Lord, I offer this to you, and he's going, I don't want that, you know. But if you lay down your life and you're not working toward your own end, but his end, then he'll take care of everything, and you don't have to worry about it. So I'm just going to close with this little list. I read it before, but this is the world of done. The choosing is done. The works are done. The foreordained is done. The lamb slain is done. And the book of life is written in.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Okay, so get out there and make it happen. Just so it doesn't end this way. I'm joking. All right. So let's pray. Is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah. Anybody have a prayer on your heart that you would want to pray? You don't have to, but if anybody does, feel free.
Thank you, Lord, that you are love. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We don't have to try to jump up into you, or that you've just chose us already in you, and that we just seek you and love as who you are, as who we are, and just be in that world of done. Thank you for words of life like this, Lord. They're so free. Thank you. May there be more of you from this, we pray. In your name.
Yeah. Yes, Lord.
Lord, just write into our hearts. Get our life book. Write it into us, Lord, and make it the foundation of everything we pray tonight. Let us listen. Just Holy Spirit, just you do it, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you.
Holy Spirit, we just... this realm of beauty that is God. We don't even want to pretend to fathom it, and yet, Holy Spirit, you're just wooing us. To live in the world of done. But Father, we just want to, by the Spirit you sent, just the beauty of that world that is God before the foundation of the world, to not just see it, but to know that's where we are, that's who is in us, and it's finished before us. There is an awe in relation to this, Lord. It's a breathtaking awe. Just, I don't know, a breathtaking awe. To not just hear, but to receive the wonder of the beauty of God, that you've done this and put us there.
Father, we thank you for the record. We thank you for the testimony, thinking of the words of John,
yes,
that these things were written that you might have life. Thank you, Lord, for their testimony, the record that you gave us.
Yes, yes,
in these matters, in these things, that we can even be taught, turn here, turn there, because of the record, because you recorded it, you made it known to our hearts. And these things were written that we might have life, life, eternal life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the record, for the apostles, the prophets, the testimony. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Well, it's rainy and it's getting late. Just want to make sure that we're clear on one thing, and that is, that the Lord is trying to get you into the world of done and out of the world of dung. Is that clear?